pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Would you guys memo each other?
Sorry for the delay in getting started. I don't think it's important. So we have a quorum, and do we have a report from closed session?
Nothing to report, Mr. President.
Thank you. Do we have a sheriff's department report there? Please step up. There's a button on the mic. If the light is green, you're ready.
If it's green, it's transmitting.
Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Aaron Nix. I'm the Coastal Division Commander for the Sheriff's Office. I'd like to start by giving you the stats for the month of January and then entertain any questions or any concerns anybody might have. For the month of January, we had 349 total calls for service. 82 of those were emergency medical service calls. 33 were assist to other agencies. 8 crimes against persons. Those were broken down into 1 aggravated assault, 3 misdemeanor batteries, 3 threats cases, and 1 resisting arrest. We had no domestic violence or child abuse related cases in Cambria for January. 11 property crimes. Of those, 3 were burglaries, 7 thefts, and 1 vandalism. 11 miscellaneous disturbances. 49 check the welfare or citizen assists. 17 suspicious circumstance or subject calls. 35 incomplete 911s. 12 alarm calls. 2 arrests for drunk in public. And then finally, 62 self-initiated field activities by our deputies. Of those, 47 were traffic or pedestrian stops, and 15 were on-site contacts in response to citizen flag downs. I can tell you, in the last couple weeks, I'm sure everyone recalls the rash of window breakings we had on Main Street. If anybody has any questions about that, I'd be happy to entertain them. But in summary, the suspect was identified, arrested, and is being prosecuted for that rash of crimes. It's a resolved issue. It was one individual person. And as you've noticed, there's been no replication of it since then.
I have a question.
Thank you. Thank you for that report. I just wanted to know, this happened to me, but I don't know if it's happened to anyone else in the community at this point. Have you had any calls on people owning now personal drones and flying around houses, looking around at houses? They have video cameras on them. It did happen in my neighborhood. I couldn't imagine what the noise was, but I looked up. Here's this little drone just hovering, looking right in with the video camera. And so I did call the sheriff's office. And I was just wondering if maybe next month you could come back with information on, is it legal? To what extent do people have, you know, privacy rights, that kind of thing?
I'm familiar with the call. The deputy came back and told me about it that day.
Good. Josh, I think.
Yeah, Josh Pete.
Yes.
Yes. I think he explained to you that day there are a couple of penal codes that apply to that. It's basically if you can prove intent, if there's a deliberate intent to surveil, you know, somebody else in their private home, then obviously you've committed a crime, which I believe he offered to you that day. It sounds like in speaking to the neighbor, he was playing with a toy. What he was representing was that he was just trying to figure out how to use it. I can tell you, we haven't had a real problem with them. They're becoming more and more common as the price point for them goes down, so more people are using them. Mm-hmm. We haven't had a real issue. More often than not, it's a toy. The camera is mounted so that they can actually navigate with it. I'm not saying it won't become a problem in the future, but I can tell you we've had no issues with them thus far.
Well, I was certainly my first experience, but I did take a picture of the drone taking a picture of me with my camera, so that is kind of looking into your house. But I did ask the officer not to talk to the neighbor. I had talked to him. I asked him what he was doing. He said he was looking at the ocean, and I said, well, then why are you looking in the houses? And so I appreciate the fact that he did that, but I said I would call, but I haven't had any other problems. I just think those things will happen, that's all.
Yeah, and as that technology improves, you might see that become an issue down the road.
Right.
People are always looking for another way to do whatever there is they're trying to do. And they have become cheaper. They're very easy to pick up now. But so far, we haven't had an issue with
them. Yeah, that's what I understand. Thank you.
You bet. Anything? Oh, and I was going to offer to you, if you'd like me to email you these stats in advance so you have a chance to digest them before I get here. I can do that as well. Just let me know. I'll be happy to email them to you.
Director Thompson has a question.
Yes, Commander. Special Olympics, which is something that's very important to this community, so we thank you.
No problem. Thank you, folks.
Thank you. Do we have a fire department report?
Chief Miller's not here. The fire department report stats are provided to the board. Just a couple things. Chief Miller's attended two meetings regarding the Amgen tour, and we've met and discussed it and the impact that it's going to have on the community. He also wanted to let you know that there is some positive movement afoot regarding the Sheriff's Department reconsidering their position as it relates to having a report writing room up at the fire department. And that process is moving forward. We've been discussing it in concept for about the last couple years or so, and the Sheriff's Department did have a report writing room up at Cal Fire, and so now there's a renewed interest. I know Director Thompson will be glad to hear that. So Mark just wanted me to let you know that he had a conflicting schedule and that there's. The stats for the fire department are provided to the board. So.
Thank you. Acknowledgments and presentations, we have none this month. Agenda review, are there any additions, deletions? Seeing none. We'll start with the public review. We do have a slip for public comment. Ms. Tina Dickinson, please. And you just hit the button to start.
Good afternoon, Board. Tina Dickinson, Cambria. I would like to bring to the board and public's attention and to the general manager the fact that I'm becoming very frustrated over the fact that if I make a phone call to the general manager relayed through his secretary, the phone calls are never returned. Emails are never returned. On the other hand, I might get an email related to nothing that I have sent to the general manager, but just comes out of the blue. But I would like to contrast the fact that I at least am not receiving any response from the general manager. But on the other hand, when I did some research when the general manager was in Atherton, there was improving communications through town community meetings, 6 to 7 p.m. City Manager Gruber will also be available to meet with residents at Town Hall to discuss any concerns, questions, and or suggestions on the fourth Monday of each month from 2 to 5 p.m. beginning April 26th. I would just like to know, why is it that General Manager Gruber, when he was city manager of Atherton, felt it was so important at that time to meet with residents and yet can't even answer a phone call on important issues or follow up on email requests. And I just find this rather, the contrast, quite amazing and would like to know why, when he's working on a staff report, as was reported by his secretary last week when I called, I said, well, is he in a meeting? No, he's working on a staff report, but he'll get back to you later. That was in the morning of last Tuesday. I never heard back a word, nor have I heard on emails that I've requested a response from. So I bring that to all of your attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dickinson. Seeing no other slips for people to speak, if we're missing someone, please bring it up. Thank you. And if anybody else would like to speak, please feel free to fill out a slip. And this is for items that aren't on the agenda. These are items that public comment is for items that aren't on the agenda, and I see I might have one additional slip. Is this for on the agenda or off? Okay. All right. So, I'll fix it. Mr. Bruce Richardson.
My questions are about the new water restrictions. I'm a monthly rental in town, and that's going to be extremely difficult in this between the permanent residents and the non-permanent residents. If I have snowbirds come in for the winter and they're here for 3 months or 2 months, the two-month thing kicks me out. The thing that the main deal is, I think we're all in this together. We all need to conserve water, whether we're a weekly rental or a monthly rental or a permanent resident. And my biggest beef is, how is it that a non-permanent resident is a second-class property owner? I don't get a cut in my property taxes for less services. And to police, you know, for the flushing toilets, I'll make great efforts, but I have very little incentive in some ways because I'm being so penalized because I'm not a permanent resident. So legally, I have another question. Is that even possible? Is it possible to create a second-class property owner? How can you limit? Would if there was less gas, would the gas company say, well, we're only going to give so much gas to permanent residents and less to rentals, or less police or fire protection, or running short on firemen? We're going to go to the permanent residents first. So there's some legal issues there, and it just doesn't wash. There's something really afoul here and not fair. And I'm doing my fair share, and I just think that it's not right. If I have a family of six for 2 months, they get half the water that a couple next door would get in a thousand, say, half the size of the house or two people. And how's that going to work? And if you clobber your rentals, if you clobber your weekly and monthly rentals like this, then what happens to this town? Who's going to eat in the restaurants? Who's going to go antiquing? Who's going to, all the management, all the maids? I mean, this town's not exactly a hopping bed of economic activity as it is. So we need to spread the problem fairly with everybody. That's it.
Thank you for your comment.
Do I get an answer to any of that?
let me explain. When it's something is not on the agenda, the board can't share their opinions with each other. I do think that the general manager is going to be able to address those issues, and it's a difficult issue. And I know that there are we need to refine this. We are in an emergency, so that's number one. We have to do everything we can that the law allows for us to do to be in this emergency. And we've done that. It's going to create some problems, and there are provisions for appeal, and we haven't worked those out yet. That's the best I can say at the moment.
Okay.
We have
one more.
David Stutroff.
No, my name's Tony Holderman. I'm very confused about something. We have four people that are permanent in our household, and three of those are handicapped. Can I get it here today? Because otherwise I seem to be kind of slow. I heard a lady that, you know, she's been waiting forever too, and I know you guys are dressed pretty good, so you look like you're getting paid well, but I have a problem with that. I have an issue, and I, you know, fun's fun, and I like all of this. You know, you got lovely hair, whatever else. But I need some answers.
Do you know how many units you use, by the way?
Huh?
Do you know how many units of water you do use?
Too many. My wife is on me all the time.
You would be allotted 16 units, right? 4 times 2 is 16 units.
Correct. And we have staff. It's on the website. I don't think we have any of those forms with us, but staff.
I don't want to talk to a website. I want to talk to a person, so, one to one. After this meeting, Jerry, would that be okay?
Well,
you and me,
you can wait till after the meeting, or you can go to the office now and we can help you out.
Can I wait and talk to you after the meeting?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
And your name again, sir?
Anthony Holderman.
Okay, thank you. Just for the record, seeing no further slips. Oh, David Stutroff. Oh, I'm sorry. David. I'm sorry.
Hello.
You got preempted there.
David Stutroff, homeowner and business owner. One of the things that,
you know, I'm aware of all the problems, and I, you know, we're trying to cut at our house. We're already below our where our limit should be for a family of five. We're at 13 units. So one of the things that I was thinking about is that when I bought my house 12 years ago, I bought it because it had a water meter, not that I could have bought it without a water meter. 10 years ago, when I bought my business, it had a water meter. Otherwise, I wouldn't have bought the business. So I guess my comment is not so much to you folks, but more to the community in, I'm aware of the problems, but I don't think that there should be necessarily a precedence that one water meter is worth more than the other one. So the water meter at my business is how I pay my mortgage. So it doesn't matter if, you know, if I lose my business, then I lose my house. So that's not directed to you, but to the public. And what I was thinking about is, you know, we've had a lot of dysfunction over the over decades, and compromising on something like this does not mean that you get what you want. So
managers and board reports. General manager.
Thank you, President Berenger. Just briefly, I wanted to take a minute to go over the progress that we're making on the SR1 and SR3 wells. The SR1 well is the well, the old well that is inside the old water yard where Carlos is. If you guys ever get a chance to go over there, it's the well that was one of the main wells for the community prior to the SR4 well going on online. That well was taken off of line once the Chevron settlement was reached, and the concerns relating to the MTBE plume, although there was never any MTBE actually in the water, the concerns were related to the plume migrating towards that well. When the SR4 well was put online, that well was taken offline. The SR3 well, these SR means Santa Rosa, the SR3 well is in the lower aquifer of the Santa Rosa watershed, and it's over in the Tin City area. So we contacted Miller Drilling, and you know those wells have been off for an extended period of time, 15, 20 years or so, or extended period of time. And when they pulled the SR1 well up, they realized that it was seized up, and it was just like anything else that sat for an extended period of time. So we're getting a quote on replacing that. The encouraging part about the SR1 well at this point in time is that they did do a pump test on it, and they did a pump test at different intervals and at different pumping rates, and it's producing rather well. That's not a pun on words there. I'm sorry, I just did that on purpose. But it's producing rather well, and the casing's in good condition. So if the casing's in good condition, it's what we're looking at now is we're waiting on a quote to get a submergible well. The well that they have over there now is the type that has a shaft and that sits on top. The more modern application now is to go with the submergible unit that doesn't require an oil drip and a lot of much more components than you would have in the old application. So we're waiting to get a quote on that, and in parallel to that, we're working with the state agencies on the permitting process. We think that that'll be a relatively simple process. We're also looking at still the granulated activated carbon option, or a complete oxidation system, because there is one component of the MTBE within that well that will not respond favorably to a granulated activated carbon application. So we're evaluating that and looking into that also. Filtronix, we met with Filtronix. That's the old blue tank, to include those components so we can continue to keep the board and the community informed on the progress we're making and what it's going to cost to get that up and running. Going to the SR3 well right now, we don't feel that we're going to have to add any additional filtration on there, the granulated activated carbon or anything like that. We can just, that pumps about 600 gallons a minute. So we originally had a timeline of mid-March, but we're just behind schedule on that, just only because of the problem with the SR1 well and having to get that replaced. And the actuator valves, because they just don't make those anymore. So I'm looking at options. Can you rebuild the existing ones? Is it something comparable that's on the market to replace those? So those are just, that's some of the updates. And then when I'm done with my manager's report, I'll go ahead and let Bob touch a little bit on the other water alternative. He's kind of project managing that. I'm working with him. working closely with the Water Alternatives Ad Hoc Committee, and then I'm project managing the SR1 and SR3 with Mike and Justin. So I prior to the meeting, and I just got it a little while ago, we have some production results from when the board put the Stage 3 conservation measures into place January 30th until the 24th. And I have all kinds of statistics in front of me, and I won't bore you with too many of them. But just for an example, from 2013 to 2014, for the same time period, from January 30th to February 24th, we pumped a considerable amount less acre feet of water than last year at the same time. We pumped about 9.2 acre feet less during that period of time. And I went back and I looked back to 2009, and there were 15 days within that 24-day period where we had pumped a lower amount than any time during that, going back to 2009. I did some math, and you know, we did 9.2 acre feet less than the previous allocated a period of time. So I'd like to thank the community. I think that's a huge savings. It represents over a 5 or 6 year period about an 18.7% 18.3 average reduction rate in consumption. So it's showing that the conservation measures that the board adopted are working. That those look at it, and we found an error in our production, and we went back and it was actually 57.67 acre feet, not the 63.8 that was shown on our production. So that 6.13 acre feet less than what we've done before, and although it's still to 2007 levels, it's not that alarming high rate that was brought to our attention. So I'd like to just thank the community. I'd like to thank everybody for the effort that they're doing. It has resulted again. I'm looking at a snapshot in time from the 30th of January until the 24th, and that's just when the guys got the production for me. It shows pretty significant savings. One other thing that I mentioned in my general manager's report is I think it's important to understand your limitations as far as staffing goes and things like that. And so we have brought somebody on board to help us in the messaging and to get that message out about our alternative sources of water and making sure we're doing it in a timely and accurate manner, and making sure that the information is factual. And as mentioned earlier, you know, we're really extremely busy, but I think it's important to have that component and that person, and that person's here if they'd like to say something, but just to make sure that we're getting that information out to the community and making sure that we're keeping them informed on the progress we're making. The other manager's reports are attached. If you have any other questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. But again, I just like to thank everybody for their conservation efforts, and we'll continue to provide you an update on the status of the alternative sources of water. If it's okay with the board president, if Bob could go ahead and touch on the geohydrological study and the progress we're making over there.
Right. I have a couple of slips for people to talk. Would you prefer that Mr. Gruber or Bob gives it, or Mr. Gressens gives his update on the other project?
Here we go, a conversation.
Okay, then I have two slips, one for Ms. Bettenhausen, followed by Tina Dickinson. And then we'll bring it back.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm happy. Who is actually carrying forth the installation of the SCADA equipment? How does Pine Knoll's tank talk to SR4? And will SR3 and SR1 also talk to SR4 and maybe Pine Knoll's and perhaps even something at San Simeon Creek? This is all high-tech electric, and we know already that Fiscalini tank doesn't like high-tech electric, and Stewart is a little iffy too. So please give us a serious update, Mr. General Manager, on the condition of SCADA, what's it costing us, how are the benefits demonstrated factually, and when will we be done with installing SCADA, and how will we then maintain it, and who's responsible on the staff for doing that? The second question, I love acronyms. You can tell I just refer to them all the time. PIO. I'd like to be a PIO. I'm certain that you're a new consultant is highly skilled at being a PIO. I've never met the man, I don't know. But I'd like to know exactly what local media will the PIO use to tell us ratepayers what in fact is happening with CCSD. What kind of communication, and I know that you want to win the Transparency Award, but what kind of communication are you going to do? So I really hope that there's something very specific about what you have hired this man to do and how you will know if he was worth, I'm sure he will be, how he was worth $10,000. I won't bring up deficit spending, that's later for the budget, but the third thing I will bring up is, if there was, in fact, in January, an error in the production numbers for January, I would like to know what was that error and how was it made? Because if the error was actually, if I understood the general manager, that we went from 63.8 down to 57 point something acre feet in January, we still were 7 acre feet over what we used the year before. After all of this conservation that we've been doing, after all of this resource management that we've been doing, we are using more and more water. I would like to know the demand statistics, not production. I'd like to know the demand statistics for the Wine and Art Festival. I heard a rumor, and it's all we've got rumors, so I hope that our PIO will be able to manage the rumors. But I heard a rumor that we had, again, as we did in Pine Dorado, a 1 million gallon day during the Wine and Art Festival production. And friends, we can't keep doing this. I'm not.
You said there was, I know I should be looking at you, President Barringer, but you said you got an update right before the meeting. What was that on?
I don't know. I think it was a well production update. Yeah.
It was production records.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So every single month I call on the 10th of the month to find out what the previous month's reading was for well production. I called, every month I do this because it's never on the website, okay? So I called on the 10th of February to find out what January 31st number would have been, giving them a week and a half to get it together. Nothing. I spoke to Mike Finnegan. Well, no, it hadn't come to Justine, and no, nothing. So Tuesday, called again, nothing. Wednesday, nothing. Thursday, on the 13th of February, I saw Justine sitting here where Monique is today, and I asked her, and she said, oh, Mrs. Dixon, I just emailed that to you. And I said, well, could you please just give me the number from your laptop? And that number, by the way, was 63.80. Even that's incorrect, because if you add the two numbers from San Simeon and Santa Rosa, it comes to 63.79, so even in the math it was wrong. However, so the total we have in front of us today is 63.80. If you go back to 2012, so if you take away whatever the miscalculation was, it's 6.13 acre feet difference. So if we had 63.80 listed here and you take away 57.67, there's a difference of 6.13 acre feet. So the total, 57.67, if that's what it was. But then I go back to 2012, and we used 53.66, or produced, 2011, 48.05, 2010, 45.44, and if I go back beyond that, it's in the low 50s or the mid-40s for the same time period. Then if I go over to yearly production, well production, and I'm just going to go from 2009 or 2008, 707.61 2008, 699.48 for 2009, 672.41 for 2010, 682.88 for 2011, 724.74 for 2012, and 732.28 for 2013. So no matter what we've tried to do or you have implemented, it isn't working. It is not. Please, We don't need it, and I think I looked at the expenditure report, and it's amazing what you're spending. So Cambrians, take a look at this coming November and do what you need to do and get rid of the people that cannot manage this town and cannot they're spending our money without even thinking.
Thank you for your comments. Seeing no further slips, I think we'll then, Mr. General Manager or Mr. Gruber.
I can limit my comments just to the geohydrological modeling.
Thank you.
And if you have other questions about the report, let me know and I can
maybe
expand from there.
Before we do this, let's take it back to the board if anybody has any questions for the General Manager on his report.
I do. Looking at the fire chief's report, it says that there's a draft version of the fire department 2014 strategic plan that was presented to the administrative staff to share with the board and community. I was just curious when we might be seeing that come forward to the board and how we're going to have the community involved in that planning.
Yeah, I made copies about a month or so ago and distributed to the board. I take it everybody got that. It was in your inboxes. So, I made copies and gave it to the board, and that's something that I'll discuss with the board president regarding when you'd want to have it would probably require a workshop environment and to go over the strategic planning of the fire department, and that's what I told Chief Miller. I said that, collectively I'll work with the board and decide when they want to have that, and involve the community in that strategic plan that was put together by them.
Is any other another comment?
Yeah, I just I'm statistics don't frankly bore me, and I would like to have more data. More data gives me a firmer ground upon which to make decisions, and I'd like to, as a case in point, I appreciate this particular graph, which is page 29, San Simeon Creek well levels. I don't know if we can, if you look in the page 29 of the agenda packet. It shows just the last 5 years, and that red line is us this year. Now, here's why more data is better. If I look at this one, which is 1988 through 2014, that red line here on this one is all the worst years in one line. That has been clarified, and thank you very much to Engineer Greshens for giving us an alternative to this, does show that there's only one line on here now that we are above. So more data, now we can see that there's only been one year where it was lower and hasn't come back up than we have this year since 1988. More data is better. It gives us a better picture of where we are. We're not at the worst year that we've ever had, which is looks like 1990. But we are the second worst year since 1988, and that's a fairly large data set. And so I appreciate bringing that forward, and it's a perfect example of why having more data is better, because we can actually see where we are in perspective to our long range. So I just wanted to bring that up, and thank you for correcting the January production numbers. And I, too, would like to know either how that happened or how we're going to prevent it from happening again. Was it just a calculator finger slip? I added 3 days that I added twice or something. It would just, I don't particularly care who made the mistake or what the mistake was. I want to know how we're going to prevent it from happening again, because I rely on those because I don't have the billing numbers, so I don't know what actual consumption is. I rely on those numbers just like I rely on the expenditure reports, because I don't have any income showing. I have no idea what our current cash balance is other than the big picture that we get from Alan every month. So, and more data is better and puts us all in a better position for making decisions that are appropriate for the whole community, because it's a responsibility that I take pretty seriously, and I don't like making decisions when I don't know what's up.
Thank you. Any other directors? I do have a comment. I see that we have all the data. I mean, in fact, we have the page 26 is outstanding. Is an outstanding thing. Good. I did have a comment. What was it? Oh, When we're talking about SR1 and SR3, and you're going to be putting a filtration system on it, you're being overly safe when you want to do the carbon filter. Has there ever been evidence of MTBE being in any of our wells?
I'll defer to Bob on that. He has a better background in it.
Information. We have concentration profiles on the gas station for some of the main constituents. They're still in the ground up there. There's been over 10 years of pumping and treating on that MTBE plume. So the concentrations have gone down over time, and the extent of the plume has moved closer into the gas station area, kind of under the corner of one part of the gas station more so than anywhere else. Now, MTBE can be very tricky in the way it moves. It can move faster than groundwater. It can seek a seam in the rock or something like that and travel, faster than people might estimate it to be. I spoke with an expert on it on the phone. I sent him the latest concentration profiles, and he said, gosh, it looks like, SR1, which is the furthest well down gradient from the gas station, might have a 50-50 chance that something could potentially come there. It'd be at a lower concentration than it was in the past. But, that was a real rough type of estimation. The well up gradient, SR3, has a much lower probability of having anything travel towards it because it's slightly up gradient from the station, from what I understand. So that's why we were looking at having an overabundance of caution and just going ahead and put GAC downstream from the iron and manganese removal plant. Or we may instead use an advanced oxidation process that destroys anything that could get through that. So we're looking at both those alternatives and trying to make a decision on the economics of that and which way to go. So once we get through that decision, hopefully next week, and get the orders going on the equipment. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it did. Okay. And then maybe you can proceed on your portion of the presentation.
Would you like me to talk about the geohydrological modeling then? Changing subjects then to a portion of the written staff report that I provided there. And just on the geohydrological modeling for the lower San Simeon Creek area, that is the work that you authorized during your January 30th meeting by CDM Smith, and that work is proceeding well. A lot of the effort has been in getting the raw data to CDM Smith so they can enter into the model. They've done some preliminary runs of the model to date. I'm having another detailed discussion with them this coming Monday morning, so I'll know better where they stand after that discussion. Around 10th to the 15th of March, somewhere in that range. I was meeting this morning with some people out in the field taking samples. So, again, we're working very hard to make sure they have the correct data to put into the model, and that's where that's at right now.
Thank you. We have two speaker slips, one for Ms. Bettenhausen, followed by Tina Dickerson.
Thank you again, Mr. President. I'm Elizabeth Bettenhausen. I live on Park Hill. And it would really help, just as a parenthetical comment, if we knew how many slips we had to fill out according to the different components of the general manager's report. Because I did want to raise something about part of it, but it was not mentioned at all. I wanted to raise in the administration officer's report, it says that there are three openings right now in the staff of CCSD. That's on page 7 of your agenda. And it says senior wastewater operator is open, administrative technician 2 payroll/benefits is open. It also says that executive assistant district secretary is open. On the website, those first two have many, many papers you can look at, including the application form, should you decide to apply. But there's nothing for executive assistant district secretary, which is the new name for what used to be called the district clerk, which never had a position description. I would very much like to know, if I decide in my 72nd year that I want to apply for executive secretary district clerk of the CCSD, what in the world would I do? It doesn't tell me on the website. So that's one question. The second question is, in that same page, There was reference to vacation rental owners have objections to limited allocation of water to their properties. I know, by rumor again, that there was a meeting with vacation rental people in the CCSD on Monday. There's no report whatsoever in this agenda, no update about that meeting. I'd love to know, since I live in great proximity to many vacation rentals. I would also like to know if it's possible, according to the district engineer's report, that the district engineer is ever given solid production and demand data. We speculate in this report, or he does, excuse me, Mr. Gressens, he speculates that perhaps people are watering their lawns a lot in January. And now we've heard there's an update on the production again, but we still are 7 acre feet over. What were we doing in town to spend 7 acre feet in January? The speculation is we were watering our lawns. Well, what is the effect on the lower aquifer? Will the upper aquifer have to fill in the low? I want data, friends. Because I'm not an obnoxious rationalist, I pay for my services. And you, dear board, govern those services here. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Dickinson?
Okay, I have a couple of things on Engineer Gresham's report. You said, Mr. Gresham's, that you spoke with geohydrologists regarding the MTBE and that you got pretty rough information. I'd like to know what information you got. Pretty rough doesn't tell me anything or the community, but I am concerned about these two wells having manganese, iron issues, the MTBE. And if there was, according to the general manager and reported in the Cambrian, no MTB issues, then why would we have gotten a $10 million settlement? I mean, sure, we know there were issues. They couldn't have just been made up. Chevron would never have paid that amount. So that's a question. I don't know what pretty rough information means. The other question, another question I have is, because in the Cambrian, it said that the CCSD is buying two new tanks, I believe, and that the water will not be coming from the rancher who's been supplying us with water, but rather it will be district water. The paper did not elaborate on where that water was coming from, so I contacted Mr. Etling at the Cambrian, and his understanding is that the water that will be filling up those tanks is from SR1 and SR3, which I thought, when we initially found out that was going to be 114 acre feet of extra water, then it turned out to be 155 extra feet, acre feet of water, that was potable water. So can someone please clarify that? Where is the water coming from to fill up the tanks that are now going to, apparently, the rodeo grounds to please the realtors in town, which is quite a surprise, when it's in a very safe location right now? That location has got to be the most dangerous location you could ever even think to put them. So I also want to know, what is the cost of the proposed project for the emergency desal and the huge desal plant that's being put in there? It's $2,000 an acre foot. And we're going to pay $6,000 an acre foot for 250 acre feet. I think you really, really need to start looking at the off-stream storage I've suggested that will cost this town way less. And the memo I got from Mr. Gruber on that, and Mr. Gresham's, I'm sorry, I don't believe at all what you have to say, and I'm going to look into it further and pursue this, because this is what this town needs. And the water we're getting today, tomorrow, next week, and forever how long, would be water that could have saved us from this mess.
Thank you for your comments, and if anybody wants to answer any of that, feel free. All right. Does the board have any questions?
I just have a question. Last meeting, we approved and gave the general manager the authority to enter into a contract with CDM Smith for $500,000, up to $500,000, and that contract has not been let yet. That we're waiting for the results of the geohydrological study first. Is that the case?
Correct. So the board authorized two expenditures, one for the geo study, which was $174,000. That's task order one, and that contract has been, they're working on it. The results of that study will determine task order two, which is what District Engineer Gresham's touched on with regards to permitting, location, things like that. That'll be a separate task order, and then that will be brought to the board for informational purposes relating to keeping the project moving forward. Since the board authorized that $500,000 to include work done on the SR1 and SR3 and Filtronics, then before any of that work begins or money's spent, I'll make sure that I keep you informed on how that money's being allocated. One of the things that we did create, too, for accounting purposes is gave each one of those projects and the subcategories within those projects line items within the existing budget, so the money would be able to be shown and allocated for from an expenditure standpoint. So I hope that answered your question.
Yeah. And
okay. And we have been in touch with the local
agencies. I've had some discussion with the consultant that measures the monitoring wells around the old gas station, but not directly with the regional board on that.
Seems like that would be a key contact to make sooner rather than later.
I had a question and I lost it. Mr. Gruber, would you like to make any introductions?
Yes, I'd like to introduce Mr. Tom Gray, and he is the individual that will be assisting the district in messaging and communicating to the community with regards to the two projects as they move forward.
Well, thank you. Tom Gray, if I recall, was on the NCAC and a citizen here locally, and I think you should be able to help us out quite a bit. Having more information going out and proper and concise information.
May I really
certainly.
I'm hoping that during the course of the year we are going to be able to. Well, we have to look at our revising our bylaws, but there's also some policies that we need to get lined up and actually down on paper, and things like how do we communicate with the public and those kinds of things for board policy is, I think, a critical thing because you know there's five people sitting here and we don't get paid an awful lot of money, but we are the face of the district in a lot of cases, and sometimes, you know, I know for myself, when I get called up by the press, since we don't have a policy, This is what the board's position is. So,
right. You know. Thank you for bringing that up. I just came across that today. We had some reporters outside, and she was. I noticed she was in here filming some of the public comments, so that was good to see. But we should have a policy, and I'll bring that next month. I'll make sure we bring back the bylaws. And I think I remembered what I was going to say. I forgot. Mr. Gruber, let's go. Oh, that's right. That's right.
I was saying, I was indicating that the tank overflowing. Did you want to talk?
No.
Okay.
What are we going to say? We're talking about the. How about the consent agenda? Do we have that? Do we have a? Oh, member and committee reports. What is that going to be? Oh, let's have a member and committee reports, Mr. Thompson.
Not considered a committee report, but just maybe something relative to Feel Good Thursday. We all know that it's fashionable to hammer on staff for what they do and they don't do. And I recall an incident where a woman was complaining because staff was working at 9 o'clock at night repairing a water main and was disrupting her television viewing or something. But I received a letter from, no, I didn't receive, I got a copy of a letter from further issues relative to the leak and not being able to find it and so forth. And then finally he says, a quick search found a guest bathroom toilet tank to have a barely perceptible drip from the tank water being up to the level of the overflow tube. A quick adjustment and the baffling leak disappeared. So then he says, my primary reason for writing this note is to say thanks to all the CCSD personnel who helped us get the LEAP problem identified and solved. In particular, thanks to Bob Greshens, Jason Buell, and Justice Smith for fixing a problem under tough circumstances, with apologies for my blunder. All were very professional when they could have been berating me or worse. I greatly appreciated their attitude. And again, I appreciate that the constituent took the time to recognize that that we have staff that work hard and are very much supported by the community.
Thank you. Any, Mr. Director Rice?
Yesterday we had the kickoff meeting with the consultant for the water and sewer financial plans and rate studies, and one of the items on the agenda is adding a meeting in March to have a public study session, as it were, regarding rates. I thought it was we got a chance to have a little Alex Handler of Bartle Wells and his associate Allison kind of went over what the process is going to be, and that's what we're hoping to present to the public in March. Director Thompson was also at the meeting. I think it's going to be a really good process. I feel like Mr. Handler is going to, he did a great job doing our capacity study, capacity fee study, and that it puts him ahead of the game in terms of having a lot of the data already that he needs to help us adjust our rates so that we make sure that we're covering our expenses and that rates are fair and, you know, hopefully affordable. They will be affordable.
Yeah. Thank you. I did remember what I was going to comment on, and that was when we authorized the general manager to expend $500,000, it was really to avoid competitive bidding from a legal perspective, but we should understand that we're still in an emergency. It's going to be windy and rainy this weekend, I understand. But even if we get 4 or 5 inches, another comment is from a financial perspective, the board is not paid at all. We do, in fact, get a $75 fee for attending meetings, but other than that, up to a limit. So I just wanted to comment on that.
If I may speak to, we are definitely in an emergency. We don't want to end up in a situation like this again, and heaven forbid it continues to be dry again. I mean, Australia went through a 9-year drought. So hopefully we're not facing that, where we're going to be okay and not have to use $6,000 an acre foot type water. But it does bring up a policy issue that really I think is incumbent upon this board to at some point actually discuss, which is, what do we mean by reliable? How much extra do we really need to have in reserve? And some of that is technical, based on what engineers say and what people, you know, the experts in the field think is appropriate. And part of that is, what do we think as a policy is appropriate? How much water do we think it is appropriate for the district to have to plan to provide? Is it appropriate to have to plan so that people can not turn the water off when they're brushing their teeth? Is it appropriate that people could have lawns? Whether or not we do those things is kind of one of the central core points of this board setting policy. And I really hope that we can have that conversation, because what is reliable and how much is enough are two questions that have never been answered that I can find.
That's very interesting, and maybe we can incorporate some of that into the rate study or whatever. And yes, I'm also open to other things. Mr. Kliptas is, and then I'll get to.
Yes, the Water Ad Hoc Committee has met on two occasions, but the the information, they've been information type meetings that the general manager and the district engineer have kept us up to date of what they're doing, and basically relates to what the engineer's report has already provided. So not any additional information on the committee, but they have kept us very closely up to date what they're doing, who they're talking to, and where it's moving.
Yes, I noticed that. Thank you. And Director Robinette.
Thank you. I just wanted to kind of continue that thought from Director Rice's thinking, too. I do think that everyone here knows right now are a supplemental source of water. How much do we need? And should that supplemental source of water have, as a first backup, a storage, for example, wherever it might be, and how much would we want in that storage? It'll take a long time. But I think we have certainly learned from our experience today. We're sitting here in California with a drought, and we are one of two towns that we at least know of that truly has identified that we only have so much water left. So, you know, as we move through this process, I think one of the things that hopefully we see as from the sacrificing everyone's making here, that we do see the benefit to clearly, yes, we don't want this to happen again. So how can we prevent it in the future? So those are the things I hope come out of here that everyone sees. We're going to leave this and reflect on it and learn a lot together from it.
Thank you. And by the way, I just to remind people that I stepped down from the Water Resources Ad Hoc Committee, and last month I mentioned that Director Clift is laser-focused on getting the plant up and running as soon as possible, and I threw out a date of July 1st. I think that's possibly achievable if we put our resources behind it. And Ms. Robinette was being tasked with, during the ad hoc committee meetings, to be taking the long view as to whether we're going to also have storage, what we're going to do, whether we start to make this permanent or not permanent. So I'm very trustful that with those two focuses, we're going to cover all the bases. I sent an email to Mr. Warren, thanking him for all of his work and effort, and assured him that his drywall storage option was not off the table. It was something that right now, though, our focus is to get water by July 1st, and that's what we need to do. Ms. Dickinson, I have a slip for you to speak. Or are there any other reports first? Ms. Dickinson, please.
Well, it's really interesting to hear you all speak about the emergency that we have, and yet you did everything you could to avoid an emergency. Everything you could, every single one of you. To think that we're going to be paying $6,000 an acre foot, and you can shake your head, but how do you get it? How you haven't given me the cost? You refuse to give me the cost of this project. Something that you're getting all kinds of information from Mr. Grishens and Mr. Gruber, but you're not sharing it with the public. And now we're getting a media contact to share this information with us. Well, we can't even get it from the people that are paid to do it. I mean, it is shocking. It's beyond anything I think most Camerons can even believe anymore of the route you have taken us and where we are now. And I really... Ms. Robinette, Director Robinette, you've talked about off-stream storage. You talk about it, but what do you ever do any? What do you do any? You never make there's no research done. You go to Mr. Warren's property, you take a look, and we never hear anything. Nothing. And then I did hear that, it's going to be way more expensive than something else we're looking at. Really? Why doesn't the board look at this? Why don't we have a community gathering to look at this? It's not a joke. It's serious. And it's something that I think is absolutely viable. And if it had been done 17 years ago instead of all this nonsense with desal, we would not be in this mess. Now's the time to start doing something with maybe part of that $500,000 to look at another alternative. I mean, folks, really, you're there as our leaders. And I don't see any great leadership occurring. I just see, suddenly we're in a crisis. Then, we've got this emergency. Well, we don't want to be paying $6,000 an acre foot. And you really need to look at that. And I'd like to know what the total cost of this project is going to be. And you will not answer the question.
Thank you.
Why can't you answer the question?
I'd like to know, too. We probably don't know right now. We're working on it.
The community has a right to know.
Ms. Dickinson, they do.
And we'd like, so please get that. You now have a person that can provide this information since you guys can't?
Thank you for your comments. Ms. Director Robinette would like to address this issue.
I would like to just say this to everyone that's here, and I appreciate the fact that you're taking the time to be here. I hear repeatedly, as a member of this board, how could you let this happen to us? Folks, we as a community have allowed this to be the day that is. We have spent over 25 boards over the past 25 to 30 years that have had things ready to go. They have been replaced with new boards who have said, put a red light on that, we're going to stop, we're not doing that. I wish that we would have looked at reservoirs when, in fact, years ago, it was not environmentally restricted to have a reservoir. I would like to have seen us have a reservoir. It would have been great. Apparently, Mr. Warren wanted it years ago. I wish whoever was in charge then would have done that. But today, we can't do this finger-pointing. Today, we're in the middle of a real, live, not hypothetical challenge. And the more we can work together, we're all going to make some changes. We're all going to make some sacrifices. Do I think that a brackish water desal is going to cost us a lot more than we wish? I truly do. I think it would have been less 10, 15 years ago. But really, we've got to stop the bickering, and we've got to unify. We've got to be together. This doesn't do us any good. We've got to look at solutions today that are implementable now. Thank you.
And I think it's appropriate that, we have another.
I just want to comment, with all due respect to Ms. Dickinson and her advisor, Lou Blanc, it's true that 17 years ago, Mr. Warren offered the property.
Object to you saying that. My advisor, Mr. Blanc?
Isn't he an advisor to your committee?
He was invited as a panelist.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr.
That is outrageous.
We're adjourned for a break. Thank you. We'll be back in 10 minutes at 5 minutes to 2.
I must have touched a button.
We had to take a quick break, and now that we're back, please, Director Thompson, I think you were speaking, and I rudely interrupted. Would you please continue?
Well, I thought you had a point of personal privilege, Mr. President. I did misspeak slightly, and I wanted Mr. Warren. Mr. Blanc was on the CCSD board, and he and the board majority killed the desal project, which was fully permitted and approved by the Coastal Commission, and during the rest of his term, there was no other alternative set forth with respect to off-stream storage or any other alternative water source. And that was my point of making the comment.
Thank you. All right, any other comments? Seeing none, we're moving on to a consent agenda. And since there weren't any additions or deletions, can I have a motion? Then we'll discuss.
I'm sorry. I didn't know I had to pull the consent at that point.
That was earlier.
I know. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. Is there?
Would you like to just make it a comment as opposed to?
I just wanted the general manager to explain the interim finance manager. 7C, why he went that direction. I'm not necessarily against it. I'd just like to know.
As a point of order, why don't I first take a motion and a second? Then during discussion, I think it's legitimate for the manager to. Mr. Carmel, what's your suggestion?
Why don't I move that we approve the consent agenda with and hold and exclude 7C from the discussion.
And I'll second it.
Discuss it separately.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, except for 7C, the consent agenda is approved. And let's consider 7C and General Manager.
Thank you. To answer answer Director Rice's question, Alan, unfortunately, is retiring, and his last day is, I wanted to give him a proclamation, but he said I could give him one in March, but he didn't want to be here for it, so so he's supposed to get a proclamation. There's a cake and all that stuff, and balloon animals, and but since he's leaving in March 15th, I didn't really have time to recruit and or advertise and recruit and get a permanent replacement in for them. So RGS Consulting Services is a firm I've used in the past, and I've been they were recommended by other area where I could solicit the services of somebody, and they could commute back and forth from their regular home. Then we wouldn't have to offer them some kind of accommodation, if you will. And so the result of this contract was negotiating with them and getting the cost down considerably. And we're hoping that I've interviewed the person several times and talked with her, and she has a pretty extensive background in city finance. And so it's just a stopgap, if you will, to bring somebody in till we can, because recruitments take quite a while. You're looking at probably a 3 to 4 month process, especially with a key position like this within the organization. So that's, I know I rambled on a little bit, but that's hopefully answered your questions.
I just, that it says it starts on March 15th, so are we having no overlap?
Yeah, we are. What I've asked Alan to do is, I've worked out a professional services agreement with Alan. I've asked him to, that professional services agreement will be for a 3 month period of time. To be able to call upon him for that historical information as Tracy Fuller transitions into the organization is really important. So that's a good question. If you look at the dates, you know, she comes on the 15th, Alan leaves the 15th, you know, here's the keys, thank you very much. We wanted to be able to be proactive and have Alan at least as a retainer to call upon him, and he was the one actually out of the goodness of his heart to be willing to do that, and so we will have because although this individual is extremely experienced, there are certain things that she's going to have to be able to call on Alan for, and Alan will be able to help her in that transition. But more than anything, I'd just like to thank Alan for all the years of service. He's been a tremendous finance manager, and I wish him all the best in his new chapter in his life. And I'm sure I'll be calling on him for advice and for questions in the future. But I'm also really thankful that we were able to get somebody in here on such a short notice, especially with the activity level. If you look at the one of the items on the agenda today, which is the mid-year budget. With the activity level, especially with the budget coming up and also with the rate study, those are three
of going to an accounting firm what would be the advantages, non-advantages of one other, and what might be cost differences. That, just so that we I don't care which way we go, but I think we should have that information before we make that decision. With that, I would move to approve item 7C.
A second.
Discussion. I think there is a point of discussion I'd like to add on to Mr. Cliff's recommendation. Since this person is brand new, coming in from a lot of experience with a lot of agencies, as part of doing her duties, if she could also look at just that subject, whether she even is replaced, or whether, you know, she probably brings information from a lot of different agencies that have done a lot of things, either outsourcing or working with other things, or even whole ideas on doing things differently. I know we're working hard on trying to replace moms and financial applications, etc., but if this person could help especially on her exit, make recommendations. I think that would be well treated.
You know, and I think Mr. Crosby has been here as our auditor quite often, and he deals with a whole lot of other agencies. I don't know if a firm like that or a firm that specializes in dealing with public agencies might not provide some kind of a source where maybe they're providing an in-house person part-time or full-time, but just so that we have that information.
I understand this is the, is she going to be operating independently, or is she part of essentially a temporary service?
She is through a temporary service, and so she works for RGS Services, and that is the consultant, it's really a headhunting agency that specializes in finance and high-level people within an organization. So she is she's working through RGS. The contract's through RGS, but one of the things that she will be tasked with is department assessment. I think that one of the things that I discussed with her, and I'm receptive to what the board's asking me to evaluate as regards to. You know, is this something that we want to look at alternatives? So, sure.
I think it's moved and seconded.
And one other thing, just for clarification, even though there's a few extra dollars relative to the monthly housing.
Before our break, the quick break that we made, David Stutthoff had a comment. Do you want to still do that, or is your... I'm sorry, I missed you earlier.
Hello, David Stutthoff. As we move past this, and it may never end, but I was talking to Amanda Rice, and what I would like to see the board do for the future is figure out EDUs for businesses. I think a lot of the vitriol that we hear, you know, between businesses and vacation rentals and what, you know, homeowners, is because there's no plan. So, and I'm not, you know, here to say 17 years ago or 3 years ago or whatever, it doesn't matter. Moving forward, we should have some sort of plan so that as a restaurant, this is how much I should get, you know, and on stage two, this is what I can use, and on stage three, and as a homeowner, this is what we get as a vacation rental. So, and I think it's going to solve a lot of the problems. And you know, as Gail said earlier, we are all in this together. And I don't see a lot of that from the public comments from some of the people that speak. Is that it seems that they want what they want. And I want what I want, but I'm also a realist enough to know that I'm not going to get what I want. And again, compromise is not me getting what I want. It's all of us not quite getting what we want. So, but I think that we'll solve these problems in the future if this board can work on getting some kind of policy set for businesses, for restaurants. So that was it on that.
Thank you for your comment. Sure, if you'd like to comment on that, we'll start with Ms. Robinette and then Mr. Thompson.
Well, thank you very much for the comments. I agree with you that we're into an opportunity here. It's called lessons learned. There's no question that experience is always the best teacher. And I would hope in the future that we do have when we have, again, unexpected challenges like this. The drought has caught up with us. It is sustained. We're here. It's real. It's not hypothetical. But I would hope that we do stay united with business, with commercial, with residents, with everyone. That is, look at there. It's important that we look at the vacation rentals. How does it impact them? It's important that we look at the part-time citizens, and how does that impact the part-time people that are still paying the same taxes as everybody else? They're just still working someplace else. And so, and then the residents is a very important scale, so to speak. I've heard people say, it's always a negative, though. It's always, it's unfair, kind of negative, rather than kind of trying to make it something where we come together. But I've heard people say, well, you know, the residences, they're asked to cut 33%. That is truly not true. That is a sliding scale. If you were sitting with two people in the house and you were allowed 12 before and now you're allowed 8, that would be a 33% cut. But that's not everyone. There are people with more people that are allowable that actually would have to bump up their use of water. So that's not what we're asking. Well, you used to get this much. Now you could have 20 units, but you only use 17. Well, please stay with 17, maybe even a little less there. So all of those things are kind of, you can't say there's a standard reduction of 35% or 33% with residents. That's a variable that just slides all over the map. But I think for everyone, again, as a collective group of citizens who love living here, we will definitely standardize, make it as fair as possible to everyone. So I appreciate your comments.
And it could be part of the rate study. This isn't really an agendized item, but Mr. Thompson would like to
speak. It's just a continuation of Director Rice's report on the rate study.
Okay.
basically, and Director Robinette covered most of the points, we anticipate that the public workshop, which is going to kick this rate study off, will be held on March 13th if the items we approve later, and it would probably be at 4 in the afternoon. And we would certainly encourage everyone who has an interest or a stake or whatever to come and hear the how the study is going to unfold and provide input into it. And certainly all the issues are going to be on the table. I think it's important that we separate out the commercial between the lodgings, restaurants, and small gift shops and whatever. And so we're going to look at the whole package, but we do want people to come and...
Only two people in a household, they would only use 5 each time, right? 2.4 is 12. If you only had two people, it's 9. Anyway, it turns out that each person would have 5 units, and they're being cut back to 4. Well, that's only a 20% reduction. So when you go through the math, the exact math, each person, according to that study, was allowed 5 for a quarter. So it's only a 20% reduction for residents, and it's only a 20% reduction for... Think it out. We'll take a look. I'll show you exactly where it is, because Mr. Butterfield said that they had concluded 2.4 people get 12, but they didn't do it by person, so...
This is it. I see this as one of the really important benefits to having a public information officer is so that we hear everyone. Everyone is comfortable to speak, but we do get the facts. We clarify hearsay or misunderstanding, and we go back to what are the real facts, too. So thank you.
Okay. Hearings and appeals. Seeing none, a regular business, discussion and consideration to approve fiscal year mid-year budget review. Mr. Gressens, or Mr. Gruber, please.
Bob left. so we're going to start out with a PowerPoint presentation. Since this is Alan's last meeting, I'm going to let him go ahead and introduce it and go through the slides because there is going to probably be a lot of good questions about the budget. And then once Alan gets done going through the sheet, I'd like to take the items and kind of walk through the budget with you and just point out some highlights and some areas that need additional discussion. And then if we could bring it back to the board and you can ask some specific questions. One thing I would like to touch on is we did meet with the budget committee. And I'd like to thank them for their input and their guidance. They helped us put this slideshow together because it really is about telling a story. And part of this presentation is that, especially from the water side of things, we want to be able to share with you some of the infrastructure challenges that we have and continue to have. Kind of tie that into the need for a rate study, and no, I think it's a good idea. They can bring it up, and then we can, yeah, if that's okay with the board.
Okay, okay. So we'll cover 9B real quickly, because it's very simple.
He's bringing it up, but let's go ahead and do 9B, and we can get that out of the way. And
okay, the reason we're going to get 9B out of the way is because it addresses a lot of our issues, and there's been kind of, with discussions with the general manager, it was really 9B came up from me, and I wanted to see if, because we're in an emergency situation, I thought it would be wise to meet. We're going to go back to 9A in a second. That we would have a couple of meetings each time, and in consideration with the general manager, even though we're in an emergency situation, we probably could meet biweekly, but it takes a lot of staff time to do an agenda, to do all this kind of stuff. And we're laser focused on our three goals for the year. So number one is the rate study, and I think that the subcommittee or the ad hoc committee did very well in trying to get something scheduled for the 13th. But my suggestion is rather than having it as an agendized meeting, I don't like these tables anyway, we kind of have it more of a discussion where the process is introduced by Bartles and Wells. We get a lot of public input. We can reply to questions if they come. If the board members are here, we can reply to questions and pose our own questions. And we have it as a true workshop. That's my vision. And if that's okay with the ad hoc subcommittee, that rather than it being an agendized meeting, agendized as a workshop, and we work in that direction. Would that be acceptable for Director Rice and Director Thompson?
I think the whole point of having that meeting is to get public input, not to make any board decisions necessarily, but it could definitely bring up things that the board may need to consider, but we don't need to, I mean, policy issues we may need to discuss further on an agendized.
Just a few weeks later.
But a study session to get public input, because I think that the public does have a lot to say on this, and it would be good for Bartle Wells to see where the community is in the process.
Right, a lot less formal, and so if that's okay, Director Thompson, I think we should schedule it that way. The other thing is what we were going to do in the following month, we had thought that in April we would have maybe a study session again on what's going on the East Rand, what we do from there, whether we make it permanent, temporary, whether we even turn it on at all, depending on the rain situation. So that's the way I think we should structure the additional meetings, and I welcome discussion, but without objection, I think that's the way we should proceed.
I was thinking that it would be great to have two meetings a month. If possible, I'd like to possibly reserve some time, because we may be up against a deadline with a future agenda item that I'd like the board to consider. So if there's any possibility of possibly having a small business meeting at the beginning, then going into the study session, and I don't know if that's a possible thing that we could do. But the other thing I wanted to say is the six-hour meetings are nobody makes a good decision after sitting, even in these more comfortable chairs relative to the chairs that the public sits in. You don't make good decisions at that point. So when we are having so much, having a meeting twice a month so that we can make better decisions might not be a bad idea, and having the second meeting be a policy discussion versus a business meeting.
Right.
Just something that maybe the board would think about, I would hope.
Okay,
as we go forward, we're in an emergency right now, and some of these things can be put by the wayside, but I would like to suggest that, and those could be, policy could be evening meetings, so people, if they want.
As before, you've changed my mind in the past, but for now, if we can keep your meeting as a workshop, and if we need another one in April, fine, let's do that, and we'll keep that open. But workshops are so much easier on staff. We're in an emergency situation, and as soon as we start producing these volumes of data, it becomes problematic.
And surely I'm talking about the discussion would hopefully be less than half an hour, if that, and the staff wouldn't have to put together a report at all, because it's comments on the resource management system of the county. So
I'll take yours and Director Thompson's lead on that. Any other discussion? Ms. Brumnett?
I just wanted to say, too, I do like the idea of staying flexible, that right now we're very focused, of course, on the current situation. And this next 2 months and then coming into May, really having more information for this table that isn't very sensitive to, we don't want to wind up all of a sudden, of course, adding more to an overworked, understaffed CSD staff that's holding everything else together and adding yet another meeting to prepare for, as Director Rice said, is not what we're going for.
Okay.
Nighttime is good sometimes, our standard meetings.
Thank you. Yeah, nighttime. Thank you. I don't think there needs to be any voter on this or anything. We'll just move on to, and I'm sorry for the interruption, to the...
For the record, can we be cleared? So we're having one in March and then possibly one in May.
Right, one in March and we'll, and possibly, and definitely one in May. And April is the one that's up
and
up.
And I have a PROS meeting next week, so I'll pass on that those thoughts to PROS and facilitate that with them. So
okay, thank you. Now let's move on to
it's up there for a minute.
All right, we're done. We're ready. Okay, there we go.
No, she can't. Nope. Take it away, Alan.
Well, the good news, it's a short PowerPoint. it does reference item 8A, but it should be 9A, of course. And the point of the PowerPoint is to give the big picture. It doesn't go into any great details. But go ahead and first slide, please. Okay, well, those numbers are a little hard to see. So I will go ahead and real quickly give the description and then the dollar amount. The first row, projected deficit, the original budget is a deficit again of $516,302. And just the letters in the far right column, that's, I'm going to be saying A plus B equals et cetera. So I just thought it's easier to use the letters than give the whole title and whatnot. So the second line down is the deficit increase due to regular activities. And regular activities, basically everything other than the unexpected items down below. That's a net of deficit of roughly $15,500. So the projected deficit due to, again, using the term regular activities, is $531,794. And then the unexpected items that I meant, Water Resources Control Board. I honestly don't know if it's state water or regional water, but anyway, with the government entity. And so the next item down, Title 22 Project, Sewer Department, that's the second part of that. And as I understand it, and again, I'm an accountant and don't know all the terms with water and wastewater, that General Manager Gruber would know. But to denitrify the water, the wastewater, so maybe it could be used for other things. So the projected cost of those four items is $844,000, let's call it. And so the total proposed deficit is $1,375,789. And second slide, please. Okay. So this slide is strictly the table that's on the first page of the staff report with column headers, column A being the department, column B being the projected fiscal year 2013-14 surplus or deficit, and bottom line, it is certainly a deficit, and most of the departments are either deficit or zero. Previously budgeted, and column C, proposed fiscal year 2013-14 surplus deficit mid-year budget, and D is the projected change of this in the surplus or deficit amount, again, all by department. And again, the chart itself is from the staff report. So if you can put the first, okay, so for the first column total, the existing approved deficit, that's made up of three things: the original budget, which includes operating and capital activities. The deficit was $516,302. The board approved the $500,000 brackish water project, so that's item D that's added in there. And then item E, the board approved geohydrological study. Those three items add up to the bottom of the column B, $1,190,795. So it's a net of everything, increases or decreases, revenue, expenditures, you know, many, many accounts, basically all the accounts added up together. The increase in the deficit's about $15,000. Then you add in the $113,000, and it's a few hundred more than that. I was using round figures for this, for the settlement agreement, and then the $56,500 for the Title 22 project. That adds up to the proposed mid-year budget deficit, which is at the bottom of column C, $1,375,609. And so how we, the proposed, the variance or the change between that, those two amounts is $184,814. That is made up of the $15,000 deficit increase due to the regular activities, the settlement agreement of $113,000, and then the Title 22 project of $56,500. One thing I should add, the $56,500, sorry, I meant to mention this earlier, is that's half of the total, but the thinking is that they'll only get about half of the work done this year, and since this budget is only to take us through June 30th, 2014, we put in half of the $113,000 amount. So those three figures add up to the bottom of column D, $184,814.
I think we should also clarify that that $56,500 is the other part of the 113. We actually had a settlement agreement of $226,000.
Right.
$113,000 we had to pay in cash. $113,000 we had to do particular work. Half of it done this year, half of it done next year.
Exactly, yes. Okay. And unless there's any questions, that's it for the PowerPoint.
And if I could,
yes,
President Barron, just kind of go through the go through some things. Structurally, as I'll go over these by the different departments, you're not looking at salary increases or a lot of this going to salary. You're looking at or operating supplies for that factor. What you're really looking at is continuing to fix things. And we're continuing to do that. We budgeted about $2.53 million, and this is part of that $500,000 that Alan was talking about, other than the things that the board has approved. And we're running about $2.176 million for a deficit in the water department, about $193,000. Now, really quickly on that one, we've spent about $60,000 on SCADA, and then the question was asked, what did we get for SCADA? So the money we spent on SCADA before, that's money spent, and it's nothing that we've been able to implement, unfortunately. But what we have been able to implement with this amount of money is to fully automate the SR4 well and do some other automations, and I don't want to get on a SCADA thing right now, but we can talk about that at another time. I'll include it in my general manager's report and answer some of the questions. But for the money we've spent in SCADA, it's got us a lot. The Fiscalini tank that had overflowed was the first time, and the second time was directly related to old phone lines. And unfortunately, when it occurred the first time, the second time we found five or six more problems that needed to be addressed. and we addressed them, and it was it cost us to do that. Part of this other structural deficit within the water department, as far as from an expenditure standpoint, is when Mike took over, there were some things that immediately needed to be addressed. One of those was what Director Thompson was referring to on that one leak. And those were a series of things that we discovered. The Charing Lane booster station, for an example, we really literally had to rebuild that one. It was literally held together with baling wire and duct tape. I would say bubble gum, but bubble gum wasn't there. So Mike came to me I don't necessarily like to spend. I think that when we put the budget together originally, it was a fairly conservative budget based on what we knew at the time for our expenditures, and so that had to be addressed, and it had to be addressed immediately. There was also a series of valves around town that needed to be replaced and dug up, and so we did that. If you go down to the resource and conservation, the operating part of that budget, we're almost right on track, only a little bit over on that. One note on the conservation budget: if we wouldn't have received that people self-help check, you know, for that to dig up a considerable amount of force main, gravity mains, I'm sorry, in the Strawberry Canyon and Fern Canyon area and replace those, we made repairs to about 25 manholes that we knew were just crumbling and falling apart. And part of those you'll see along the creek right now over by the Windsor Bridge. There was two locations that we went in there and raised those. Those were attributing to sanitary sewer overflows, and we were afraid that next time we got a high rains that we'd wind up back in the same situation with an SSO, and so we just had to make those repairs. One of the other big repairs that we had to make was up on Orlando. When we CCTV'd the first 20%, we found that there were four joints, if you will, completely offset. The video camera revealed that they were completely offset. So we had to go in and make those repairs. If you look at the fire department's expenditures, we budgeted about 1.69, and we're running over on that. There were two reasons for that. We had a captain go out on medical leave for an extended period of time, and we had to backfill that position with a captain. So that caused their salaries to go up for that 3 or 4 month period of time. And the second thing is labor negotiations with Liebert, Cassidy, and Whitmore. That is something we did not budget. We're running about, we anticipate if we can reach an agreement on that's about $35,000. So there's some costs associated in the fire department. And Mark's made some significant improvements to the fire station, replaced the carpet, and Mark continues to take care of that facility. And I think that's important. It's probably the best looking and operational facility we have, and it is part of our infrastructure. Operating expenditures on the admin side, still on page 72. As you can see, we're doing pretty well there. It doesn't go to salaries. We had to buy a new copier, so we had to put the money out forward to that we didn't budget. Facilities and resources, Carlos is running a little bit high on the expenditure side. In this budget I have, which wasn't budgeted, the removal of the eucalyptus trees on the East Ranch, and that's part of moving that process forward in getting the dog park are the details of the different departments as far as what those line items were for. And I'm sure that everybody's looked it over, and maybe we can answer some questions now about, well, Jerry, why did this come in so high? You know, I take full responsibility for the budget. I sent that to the board in an email. If you look at the $1.3 million, we've already discussed what portion of that was above and beyond the budget that the board approved. So we're still looking at a $500,000 out of an almost $8 million budget of overage. Some of that is related to revenues, but a lot of it is related to things that I felt that we just have to get done. If we choose not to get them done, the infrastructure is going to continue to deteriorate, and we could find ourselves in a situation where we could face future fines that would be considerably more than the one we just had. On the last note, then I'll answer any questions that the board may have. This is I think we've gone for an extended period of time where we really haven't addressed some of the things that need to be addressed. I'll be honest with you. I think that I don't have enough to do the things that I need to do. Some of this money that has been spent has not been spent previously, if that makes sense. So it was a budgeted amount in previous fiscal years that just went into reserves, if you will. They went into general reserves and they went into wastewater and water reserves. And so I don't have an analysis of that. We've discussed that previously about how much money has been gone back into those reserves. All I'm doing is taking that money back out, and we're doing things that need to be done. And there's a good possibility at the end of the fiscal year that we'll probably we won't be in quite as bad situation. But for an example, lift station B, I mean, is a big lift station, that our main lift station. We just have to replace those pumps. There's no two ways about it, and we're in the process of authorizing an additional $29,000 to get those repaired, and replacing all the valves and getting that system up and running. For about another $6,000, so there's another $35,000 that I have to spend. But I've talked long enough, and that's the budget. And Alan and I hopefully can answer.
Not my strong suit. I am an attention to detail kind of person, and when I looked at the adjustment, and there's deficits like huge amounts. I'm all, how did we approve a budget that had that much going on negative? So instead of keeping quiet and acting like I know what I'm talking about, what is the whole point of having a budget adjustment, mid-year budget adjustment? Why are we going through this? Just because we've spent more than we were planning on spending, or we think we're going to continue to spend more than we were planning on spending? And what's the implication? I mean, because is it like essentially we're doing an additional authorization to spend money? I'm sorry. I know it's a very basic question, but I just want to be clear.
Well, I think, and I'll maybe Alan can help me out to answer both your questions. Yes, you could wait till the end of a fiscal year. It's appropriate to have a mid-year budget adjustment when there's significant known impact to a budget, and that's what we're looking at here. Not only because of some of the deficits within the departments, but also some of the decisions that the board has made from a policy perspective about the amount that we're over on the budget. If we didn't see an 800-pound gorilla in the room, I would still want to bring it back to the board and say we're doing fiscally, we're on budget. What would happen if you didn't do that is at the end of the year, anything that you were short would just come out of those reserves. If you were over on water, it would come out of water reserves. If you were over on fire, it would come out of general reserves. If you were over in wastewater, it would come out of reserves from the wastewater department. But since So it's standard procedure. I've always done mid-year budget adjustments. Historically, mid-year budget adjustments can also be used for if you see something above and beyond that needs to be done that you did not budget for. So you're asking the council or the board for additional expenditures on items that you need to have. So the purpose of a mid-year budget is to ask for additional funding and I'll ask for additional things that need to be done if it's an emergency. So,
okay, and the second question that I have is on page 72, it says projected increase or decrease, and I'm looking specifically at the water fund and the wastewater fund in operating revenue. So is that like just in very general terms, that's how much more we would need to collect in rates to have that be balanced? Would that be...
No, not at all. That's
thank you for
the change.
I'm glad I
yeah, no.
Then I
well,
is.
If you're on 72, if you're looking at strictly the revenue, that's only
thank
the
you.
Change for that line item.
I just, since I'm on the rates committee, I really want to understand where it is that we're going to be getting those. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm sorry for the
The highlights section, any material changes describes what goes into those and, you know, gives a narrative for it.
Mr. Cliff.
Yeah, it's I think it's important to understand that when we approved this budget, we approved it knowing there was a certain amount of deficit. And some of that deficit was a result of projects being held over that had been, in effect, approved previously but never gotten to. And so that money then goes to reserves, and then when you go here, you end up with a deficit. And so the concept was we would reach back into reserves to bring back out money that had been budgeted in previous years. Having said that, I can see where all of a sudden you're talking about the difference between $516,000 and $1.3 million is a significant number. But you have to think back as to why we have reserves and what is the cause of the need to use the reserves. And $15,000 of this is caused by us not meeting what we budgeted. And $15,000 on an $8 million budget is not bad. I mean, I have to give credit to the finance people and to the staff for being there. $675,000 is our decision to deal with the drought. Mm-hmm. So that was purely that we're going to reach an understanding. We're going to have to reach in reserves to do that. The third component, basically $266,000 of which we're deferring, $56,000 of it was imposed upon us without. It was something that occurred before. So there's a combination of things that bring this up, but remember that that's the purpose of reserves, is to handle those kinds of situations and to be able to make that $674,000. What I don't want to see in the future is the $1,375,000 used as a basis for a rate adjustment. Because I do make the difference between operating deficit, the $500,000 that we approved, plus the $15,000 of actual operating deficit. Those are the items that we talk about, and I think should be the component we talk about in terms of where we're behind. Now, rates, I'm sure, will probably also include some portion of capital improvement and things like that, but I think for the community's understanding, the difference between the about $600,000, about less than half of this total number, is things that might be indicated in the area of saying we do need future rate increases to maintain our operating equity. I would say to that with all of the problems that have occurred in the maintenance and infrastructure, I think the staff has done a good job to be only $15,000 different from what we projected in the first place. With that, that's my comments from standpoint from the budget committee and going over these things.
Can I just on a follow on? If we were, instead of being on a modified cash basis, if we were on an accrual basis, we could see that money hadn't been spent this budget year in that department on projects, but it would be carried over still in that. No,
the money, the
Man,
work
I
was
not
done.
Get that workshop,
yeah,
right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but yeah. One thing, if I.
CSDA needs to work on their financial workshop.
Yeah, what happens is at the end of the year, money you haven't used goes into reserves and you start over.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you're going to complete the original project. Hopefully you can complete the original project, but you have to charge it to this year, and so it's going to be extra money.
Yeah, a budget document is a cash flow, so to speak. That's why you don't see our biggest expense, depreciation, is not here, $1 million that you will see on the audit, where you get to the modified. That
to a much lesser degree, amortization of loan fees, or that's all we have, and actually won't have that anymore because, if you remember Bob Crosby saying they, you know, you recognize them all, and yeah, the work wasn't done, so it, yeah, whereas it's being done this year, so that's.
I have a responsibility to pay attention where the money is. I really want to try and understand it. Thank you.
And I think a further explanation of where you came up with saying, as an example, the projected increase or decrease in the water fund, there was $7,700, and I think your question was, if we had $7,734 deal, we would be in balance. We would be on budget, but not necessarily in balance.
Yeah, got it.
Different words. That,
totally different. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wouldn't still be balanced because we budgeted a deficit.
Right.
Exactly correct, yes.
Okay. And Ms. Romney?
Plus, it's only revenue and not right. expenditures right. down below, right? Yes. Yeah.
Director Robinette has a comment?
Yes. Not many comments, since my esteemed colleague has just done a fabulous job of covering every single point we talked about, but...
I'll buy you coffee.
All right. No, the only thing I would say, and yes, that was all very important in our dialogue when we met, when we first sat down together, I looked at this part, because of course I looked at our ongoing expenses, and didn't see too many negatives, and I looked at this, and it was a little bit breathtaking to see, actually, except for three items in the chart on page 67 that we did show also on the PowerPoint, that pretty much everything is a deficit. I know that this has been a really heavy-duty budget year in terms of things that we could never, ever have anticipated going into this. We could not have anticipated that we might actually be needing to look at, brackish water desal, that we would be in the position we're in, and that one is a very important one. We know that attributed to between that and then determining the exact site, and then the fine that we did have, and then having to take half of that and commit it to repairs, was almost half of this deficit. And I can only echo what Director Merle has said, and that really is that how fortunate this district has good, solid reserves. If you look at them, we can always see the reserves from, say, the last math mystery sitting in this.
Well, thank you for your comments, and I'm going to lose the pool because I'm going to bring something up. This is just something we accept, right? We don't vote on or anything. We just accept this. Don't say a long thing. We're trendy. Here, but I would like to bring up an issue, and that is, shouldn't you, in your midterm budget, include an additional $1 million that you think you're going to spend? Wouldn't that be prudent?
I would feel more comfortable as we see what the task orders are relating to the supplemental source of water for the community, to come back and show you. What I'll do next month is, out of that $500 that you allocated, I want to show you what we've spent so far.
Okay, thank you.
And then...
thank you for
yeah,
your comments.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get this done in 2.5 hours. So that completes regular business. Do I see... I don't see a slip for 9. Oh, did I? I put it in the back. No, yes. I just lost.
Yeah, it's put sticking it here. Up on the...
Yeah, it's sticking up. Hey, Ms. Bettenhausen, please.
Sir.
I lost it.
As we get older, our eyes diminish quality. Our brain starts sorting out things according to our own self-interest. It's quitting at 3 o'clock. I'm teasing you, sir. I hope you have a good sense of humor.
I am trying to quit at 3, but
I would like you to look, please, at page 70. I remember when you adopted this budget 6 months ago, or a little bit more actually, you talked very, very much about making sure that you had money in there for maintenance, major operating maintenance, and other incidental maintenance issues. And I want you to look, if you would, at the maintenance and repairs and major maintenance points in the middle of the page. I think that when you say it's due largely to unplanned costs, you might ask yourself, how long ago were they unplanned? Because you did some planning 6 months ago that is not exactly evidence here. Mr. President, I appreciate what you just raised, because I don't want to hear on July 1st, as the adopted budget comes for the next fiscal year, that we have unplanned costs to the tune of $1 million. I'd like you also to look on page 70, the same page. I want you, the administration department has a surplus due to vacancies. Today we've heard, I think accurately, how there's a great deal of work for the staff to do. And I applaud staff heartily, often, to their faces, rather. I should send you a letter and you can read my letter to the public. But I want to ask, if we're so uptight and desperate about getting enough people to work, why are there all these vacancies showing up? And I regret that people wisely retire. Retirement is a great thing to do. But on the other hand, I think we've got some issues of people all of a sudden disappearing from the staff, whether retiring or other ways. So please, board, when you approve budgets, read carefully what it says about what we're paying for in terms of the staff for the CCSD. I'd like you also to look finally under office supplies and equipment right on that page, and it says unbudgeted software purchase. I'm such a novice at high-tech stuff, I haven't the vaguest idea what that might mean, but I would really like to know. What kind of an unbudgeted software purchase did we make, and was Fiscalini Tank happy about it? Or was Fiscalini Tank upset with the people who installed it, maybe? Not the software, which is okay, but people ought to know what they're doing when they install the stuff, as I said before in this meeting. I don't want to bother us with another long-term comment about anything in the budget, because I'd like to go home early too, Mr. President, and I wish you well.
Thank you. Go ahead.
It's already... I would move that we approve the fiscal year 2013-2014 mid-year budget review. And one of the reasons I think we do need to do that is that that is also approving spending the money for the settlement, because that has technically not been through the deal. But if we put it in the budget, it approves it.
I think that's a good thing, and I'll entertain a second.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. I heard an aye over there. Yeah, I know. Okay, with that done, we have future agenda items.
Future agenda item, the county is revising their document that gives guidelines for the typo-type comments also. But there's some substantive changes that will make a big difference, I think. We also should probably be aware that right now the planning department at the county is planning on making no changes to the growth management ordinance this year except for a fiscal year change for NAPOMO, which they have to do every year. And it was my understanding last year at the County Board of Supervisors that they had said, let's look into changing the allocation for Cambria. Now, I know we're in a drought right now, and that might mean that we issue no intent to serve letters for quite a while because we don't have any water right now. But it takes a long time to get through the ordinance amendment process and will probably involve the Coastal Commission. And so because this comes at April 10th, to the Planning Commission, and then May 20th to the Board of Supervisors. If we could please have it on the next agenda, I'd appreciate it. We also, by our bylaws, need to get our bylaws reapproved.
I support both of those. So that will be on the next agenda. Any other agenda items? Well, that said, then we're adjourned to closed session.
Sir, you skipped public comment. You skipped.
We can take public comment in a closed session. Keeping with the tradition that Mr. Thompson set, we have public comment for
items that are not on the agenda are in the beginning of, they are at the beginning of the agenda. And if for some reason 30 minutes is not enough, then that we continue. It's a continuation of public comment. And thank you very much.